Okay. Shalom to everybody. Maybe the most famous quote of Rav Kook that everybody knows, not everybody knows it's Rav Kook. I actually heard this from a Haredi Rabbanim as well, who don't realize that they're quoting the Zionist Rav Kook, is that, let's already see it inside, in source number 2, where Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, Vim nechravnu v'nechrav ha'ulam imanu. If Am Yisrael was destroyed, and the whole world was destroyed together with us, and our Beit HaMikdash, al yedei sinat chinam, through needless hate, undeserved hate, that's the Gemara in Yoma Daftet, nashuv li banot ve'ulam imanu yibaneh al yedei avat chinam. The way we will rebuild our nation, and the way we will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and the entire world is through the tikkun, through instead of needless hate, to have needless love. Hayoredet mirosh tzurim, needless love, undeserved love that comes down to us straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chanoti et asher achon v'richamti et asher arachem. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in Parshat Kitisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Hareini nak drachecha, God, show me your ways, and Hashem shows him the 13 character traits of God, that he's rachum v'chanun, he is kind and patient, etc., etc. And then at the end he says, and I, v'chanoti et asher achon v'richamti et asher arachem, I will have mercy, and I will forgive he who I decide to forgive. In other words, as sometimes the Israeli children say when you ask them a question, lama, why? They'll just say, kacha, because. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to answer to anyone when he forgives. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. Just simply, he likes to be kind, even if it's undeserved. That's the point here. And this is directly connected with the Gemara that we're going to learn tonight in our regular study of Enaya. We're up to Siman Resh Mem Gimel in the second chapter on Masechet Shabbat Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where if you remember, the Gemara mentioned four things that if you have them, if you have this sickness, it's a sign of a certain character problem. And we're up to Siman L'Sinat Chinam Yerakon. A person who has needless hate. Somebody who hates people, even if they don't deserve to be hated. People who didn't do anything to them. Or as the Netziv writes in his introduction to Sefer Bereishit, what was this needless hate? That everybody was hating everyone if they weren't from my group. If they weren't from my unit or my Hasidic sect and people were serving God in a different way, that was enough that we hated them. And part of the tikkun, one of the reasons why God sent us to exile, was where all the Gentiles hate the Jews and they don't care whether you're Lubavitch or whether you're Misnagid or whether you're Ashkenaz or whether you're Sfarad. The concept of Jew-hating basically forces the Jews to unite, and their sinat chinam, the anti-Semitism, which hates Jews, even if it's undeserved, helps us get to avat chinam, that we have no choice but to love each other and to work together. And that is, if the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of that needless hate, so we're going to rebuild it, and that's what Zionism is about. Nationalism is working together for a united goal, even though there's right wing and left wing, and this and that, and this group and that group, but the whole idea of national unity is to work together. So, if somebody has Yerakon, somebody has jaundice, now notice, this is an external a sickness that you see that a person is yellowish or orange on the outside, that is a sign that he has a problem of sinat chinam, that he hates people undeservedly. Notice, like we saw last time, Rav Kook explains we're not talking about an onesh, we're not talking about a punishment, but The external expresses what we have internal. Let's see Rav Kook inside. Aleph, paragraph Aleph. Keshem shemitkalkalim, etzel ha'adam lifamim kochotav ha'musariyim sheklapei pnimiyuto. Like we saw in the previous paragraph, in paragraph Resh Mem Bet, that sometimes a person has internal problems, right? That internal he doesn't have good midot, good character traits, and then it expresses itself in internal sickness, where you're keeping it in. Betziurim atzmeim shelim kei nafsho v'netiotea harabot. Ken mitkalkelet etzlo lifamin netiotav hamusariyot sheklapei chutz. Notice Rav Kook says that usually we start with inside. Usually people put on a facade, and outside they act like menches, they act like good, nice people. But their problem is inside. And that's the first place that you check. And that's why what we learned about last time, the first a problem, if a person has internal swelling, that's a symbolizes that he has an internal problem. But what we're talking about tonight is that sometimes there's also an external problem. Sheklapea chevra bichlala. That a person has a problem socially towards other people. And this is especially a problem today, where I always tell my kids, you don't live in a vacuum. People are so self-centered and so self-oriented that we tend to forget that there are other people around us and that there are other factors to take into account. And the whole world is not just me, myself, and I. And this is the problem that we're talking about today. Somebody who has social problems, he doesn't get along with other people. He even hates other people. Paragraph Bet. Let me just center this a little. There we go. Keshelo yimtza adam yesod pnimi b'nafsho la'avat ha'briyot mitzad romamut teva nafsho u'kedushata ha'elyona ha'atzula mikirba miyotzra. If a person does not find within his godly self that godly character trait of loving, right? All of us have inside us a neshama, a godly soul, a spark of God, which means that if God is loving and kind, the most natural thing is for us also to be loving and kind. But as we've seen in the past, man has free will that we can even overcome our godliness. We can overcome our conscience, we can overcome our goodness because we want to have immediate pleasure. We want to have self-pleasure. And so we're talking about people who are not nice. Let's jump down for a second to Source 3, where Rav Kook elaborates on this. In Rav Kook's commentary on the Haggadah of Pesach, where he talks about the problem of people who are not independent, and also that they want to subjugate other people. Okay? Let's look in Source 3 on the third line. Hachirut ha'atzmit. Freedom. My own personal freedom. That's part of what we celebrate on Pesach. Chirut ha'guf mikol shi'abud zar. To be totally free from anybody ruling over me. Mikol shi'abud kofe etzelem elokim asher ba'adam. Notice, whoever is bossing somebody around, he has to remember that that person, his worker, his wife, his children, he is subjecting etzelem elokim. Hari, every single person was created in the image of God. So if I want to exploit someone, or take advantage of them, or use them, Rav Kook is reminding us, remember who you are exploiting. You are exploiting, you're trying to rise above a spark of God. Who are you to do that? Right? Even if you also have a spark of God, your spark of God is no greater than the other guy's spark of God. Liyot meshuabad l'chol koach asher hu morid et erko. Anybody, for example, the Egyptians, who subjected the Jews as slaves, or a boss who's subjecting his workers, he is taking them down from their godly level. Et tiferet gdulato vadrat kodcho. Let me see if people are waiting to get in a second. Two people entered the waiting room. How do I see them? Here we go. Okay, we just admitted the new people. Okay. So again, we're in Source 3, where Rav Kook is telling us that whenever we hate another person, you have to remember what hate is. You are hating a spark of God. You are trying to subject a spark of God. And the same thing, by the way, if you want to ask a person a favor, just like asking God a favor, you should first shevach, praise him, and then ask what you want, and then thank him, right? We should be dealing with each other the way we deal with God as well. And the same thing, getting back to paragraph bet, if a person forgets that the other person also has a spark of God, and he is hating him, b'sinat chinam, unnecessarily, shutov lakol, who is God? Who is my godly self? And who is your godly self? God is tov lakol v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know this famous pasuk from Ashrei. God is good to everyone and has mercy on everything he created. Now, if we're supposed to copy God, that's the idea of imitatio Dei, of tselem Elokim, to copy God, to be in the image of God, to shadow God, then we are also supposed to be good to everyone, no matter who he is. Let's take a look in source number 4, where Rav Kook elaborates on this concept of being good to everyone just like God. This is from Sefer Orot, Orot Yisrael, Perek Aleph, Piska Dalid. Atzmut ha-chefetz shel heyot tov lakol. The desire that we have deep inside our conscience to be good to everyone, below shum hagbala ba'olam klal, without any limitations, bein bekamut ha-nitavim, bein be'echuto shel ha-tov. We want to be the ultimate in good. Unlimited good, just like God is unlimited, with no limit on the quality of good, nor to the quantity of people who we're giving good to. Now, obviously, that's a tough bill, because if I give the last piece of cake to Gershon, I'm not giving it to Yehoshua. And if I give it to Yehoshua, I'm not giving it to Gershon. And that's a problem in a limited world, what's called the Alma de Piruda, the world of separation, where we're limited by time, we're limited by space, and if there's one piece of cake, even if I divide it into half, so there's going to be a third and fourth person who also is not getting it. The same extent, when I'm spending time with my wife, it's at the expense of my kids. When I'm spending time with my kids, at the expense of my wife, or at the expense of my parents. When I'm spending time with my students, it's at the expense of the other people. And when I'm spending time with the other people, it's at the expense of my students. So how can we work it out to be good to everyone? So the answer is, only God can do that. Zeu garina pnimi shel mahut nishmata shel Knesset Yisrael. But God gave us, the members of Am Yisrael, the capability of being like him. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is for. Because if we want to be good, for example, to animals, and we want to be good to people, sometimes that conflicts, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us what takes precedence. Right? In general, you could be good to people first. But if it's a matter of giving food, you give food to the animals before you give food to people, if you have an animal who's depending on you for food. right? For water, you give to the people before the animals, right? There are the same thing if you have an obligation to your parents, an obligation to your spouse, right? So, it depends. In certain situations, the Shulchan Aruch will say your parents come first. In other situations, your spouse comes first. And that is all before your children. And on the other hand, if there is an emergency or your children have a very serious problem, all of these formulas and all these conflicts are dealt with in halakha. That's exactly what rabbis do. Right? When a rabbi is asked a question, nobody's going to ask him, am I allowed to eat pig? But they ask him, what happens if I am sick and I have to eat pig to save my life? Right? Or, right? Any kind of conflict, that is when we need the Shulchan Aruch to help us arrive to this idea of being good to everyone and everything without limit on the quality and without limit on the quantity. Okay, and continues Rav Kook, again we're in source number 4. Zoti Yerushata v'nachalat avoteha. This, Am Yisrael has received from our forefathers, Avram Avinu, the first Jew, who had unabounding chesed, and he walked in the ways of God. Haregesh hatov hazeh lefi godlo hekefo ve'omko. The depth and the beauty and the broadness of being good to everyone. Ken sarich shiyem utar bechochma gdola ubegvura kabira. It takes a lot of wisdom. Again, that's the godly wisdom that tells us how to do it. By the way, it's important to stress, when do we see this ultimate goodness in Am Yisrael? Chazal tell us that all Jews are rachmanim, bayshanim, and gomlei chasadim. All Jews are merciful, and are bashful, and are kind. Now, sometimes we see that not all Jews act that way, but it's interesting, even the Rambam, who is Mr. Rational, he brings this down la halacha in Hilchot Yisurei Biyah, that if you ever see a Jew who's not acting nicely, check out his yichus, because there's a good chance that he's not really Jewish. But when do we see this? I don't know if anybody, if you people are watching the Sidra, which is shaking the country now, Shad Ne'ilah, about the Yom Kippur War. And by the way, anyone who's heard about wars in Israel, and especially the Yom Kippur War, there are endless stories of Mesirut Nefesh for each other. That's part of what the movie is talking about, that in day-to-day lives, the right wing has problems with the left. The left wing hates the right wing. The religious against the non-religious, and vice versa. And when it comes to war, we all group together and give our lives for each other, day in, day out, as long as the war is there. And as we've seen in the past, how do you know who a person really is? Or as they used to say, will the real Am Yisrael please stand up? Is Am Yisrael the people that you see riding on the buses, on the crowded buses in Yerushalayim? Or is Am Yisrael a altruistic nation who you see acting that way when the chips are down? And the answer is, Chazal say, that a person is recognized, the real person you see, bekiso, bekaaso, ubekoso. When the chips are down, that's who you see who the person really is. When there's a lot of pressure going on, that's when your real self comes out. And it's chaval that we don't act that way on a day-to-day basis. And we learned this together in Orota Milchama, that Rav Kook writes that if we would act like we do at times of war, if we would act that way without war, then we'd get to that point, we wouldn't need the wars. And this feeling of achdut, of unity, of altruism, of being good to everyone, even if he's not from my political party, this is avat chinam in place of sinat chinam. Maybe let's jump to source 5, where Rav Kook says it beautifully. He says, avat tzricha liyot mle'a balev lakol. Our heart has to be full of love for everything. Notice, not just for Jews, not just for human beings, not just for the living, for animals, but even for nature. Rav Kook, as you all know, said that the ideal is to be a vegetarian, and he loved the animal world. And there's also a documented story that I've said in the past about how Rav Kook was walking with Rav Aryeh Levin in Kiryat Moshe. It used to be a big nature resort. Today it's right near the Tachna Merkazit. And Rav Aryeh Levin stooped over and picked a flower. Rav Kook started shaking. And he said, how can you uproot a living thing? Now, if you think about it, usually we don't love everyone. Think, who do we love? Our friends are those who are like us. Somebody who makes me laugh, somebody who gives to me, somebody who makes me feel comfortable, somebody who hugs me. In other words, if a person just loves those who are like me, then really I'm just loving myself. I don't really love anyone but myself. On the other hand, somebody who is a real lover, he loves everything. And that is Tov Adonai Lakol V'Rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. We are supposed to be godly and love everyone and everything. Obviously, there are different levels. That's what we're talking about. How can you be good to everything? Right? I remember when my sister, Zichron Ali V'Racha, she was a vegetarian. And when she got married, so her husband loves meat. He's the one who does the barbecues at the family barbecues. And he agreed that he'll try being a vegetarian. But he felt that he was always hungry, that something was missing. So my sister had to decide between being good to the animals and being good to her husband. You know, a case like that. It's not a difficult decision. But the idea is we do need the Torah's directives, how to be good to A at the expense of B, and how to be good to B at the expense of C, etc., etc. And that's exactly the role of the Shulchan Aruch. Getting back to our article, paragraph Gimel. Oto HaKoach, Shehu Kulo Klapei Chutz, Hu Mitrape Davka, in other words, that person who has problems with other people. I don't like anybody very much, right? That type of person, davka bikishlon chitzoni muchlat sheba adam beyerakon. The sign that he gets, that wake-up call that we spoke about the last two shiurim, is when he gets jaundice, which is an external sign. Sheyoter midai tukara chemla. Here's the main point. Here in this context, Rav Kook uses the term yoter midai, not that it's too much, but more than usual. A person, when he sees a friend with an external problem, if it's jaundice, if his face is contorted, if it's a recognizable problem, right? That awakens chimla. That awakens pity. Hari'uya mikol ro'e panav. Whoever comes into the room, yeah, Rivka Goldstein has her hand raised.
Sorry, mistake.
Oh, okay. Let's say there Gamor. Again, when we come into the room and visit a friend who has jaundice, and that external problem brings us to feel pity. When we see his face, lit orerut machaze shel ish umlal virapanim shekmoto. When we see somebody whose face is unhealthy, that brings out the best in us. It brings out pity. Even people who are not nice feel pity. Now notice, who's the person who's not nice in the story? It's the person who's sick. But the person who's sick has friends coming to visit him, has nurses who don't even know him come and give him avat chinam. And even though they're not friends, they treat him, they nurse him, they visit him, they help him.
Shebe'achreach totzi ha'itpa'alut atzma shel midat ha'rachamim v'achimla netua b'chol lev basaret ha'rgashot ha'em el ha'po'al.
Anybody who sees somebody with a physical problem, like this jaundice, it makes him feel bad. And it brings out the pity in him. And if this guy is feeling sorry for me, feeling pity for me, that shows me that there is this, that educates me to show the beauty, the benefit, the helpfulness of living in a society that I should also feel pity for the other guy.
Ad sheba lidei hayirida shel sinat chinam.
This person, the person who's sick, and as a result, why? Because he has this needless hate. This hate brought other people to pity him. He, in return, is going to learn avat chinam, what that pity means.
She'omnam ha'ava yitivit la'adam.
It is natural to love. We have a conscience. We are godly. We like to love.
V'koach ha'rachamim ha'mitorer l'machazeh ha'chitzon shel kol umlal, halo hine ha'tpartzut shel midat ha'ava ha'gnuza.
When the visitor sees the sick person, his conscience and his pity is activated, and that activates the conscience and the pity and brings out the good also in the sick person. Because he does have good, he does have godliness inside him. Now to understand how this works, let's jump to source number 7. There's a famous pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Kimayim apanim lepanim, ken lev haadam laadam." Like all the good sayings in Mishlei and all the great sayings in mankind, something is so obvious, it's just waiting for somebody to word it nicely. Shlomo HaMelech says that my face sees the other person's face like a reflection. When I am kind to him, he's going to be kind to me. When I scowl at him, he's going to be scowl at me. It takes two to tango. It takes two to fight. And if I'm nice to the other guy, inevitably, somewhere along the line, he's going to melt and also going to be nice to me. There's I might have mentioned once a famous story about Rav Shlomo Carlbach. It's his yahrzeit last week. And he was giving a concert in Haifa. And like always, Shlomo was above time. He didn't notice that it was getting late already. And somebody who lived in the neighborhood was angry that there is noise going on late at night. So he comes down in his shorts and undershirt together with his son. And these two bullies come up to Rav Carlbach. They break his guitar and they start, a brawl breaks out. And the police come. And it turns out that this bully is on parole. The police know him. And they arrest him. They handcuff him. They bring him to the paddy wagon. And they tell Rav Carlbach, we're really sorry. We know this bully, and he's on parole. And this time, because he broke his parole, and he beat somebody up, he's going to pay also on what he did in the past. And Rav Shlomo Carlbach says to the policeman, what if I don't press charges against my friend? And the policeman said, what do you mean, your friend? Rav Shlomo Carlbach said, this Jew is my friend. If I don't press charges, you can't do anything, correct? And the policeman says, yeah, I guess you're right. And Rav Shlomo Carlbach says, so please let my friend out, take off the handcuffs. And this bully doesn't know what's going on. My friend, he never heard Rav Shlomo in his life. And Rav Shlomo Carlbach, as he always did, went up to this bully and he hugged him and he kissed him. And this guy melted. Because you can't be a bully if somebody is nice to you. And that is what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Let's look in the Gra, the Vilna Gaon's commentary in Source 8, on this pasuk. Kmo ha-mayim, shemarim pnei ha-adam kefi mar'eu la-mayim. Just like when I see my reflection in the water or in a mirror. Im ya'akem panav gam ha-mayim yitra'uken. Whatever I do, that's what I get back in my reflection. Ken lev ha-adam la-adam, im libo tov lo-oto adam. If I pity the other guy, that's our context. He's going to pity me in return. If we show this guy avat chinam, he's going to melt, and he is going to give us avat chinam eventually in return. Av sheino yadua libo shel adam. Even though we don't know what's going on in the other guy's heart, do good to him, and that's what you will get in return. In Source 9, we see a similar concept in the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Mitzvah goreret mitzvah, vavera goreret avera. There are a lot of different commentaries here, but in our context, what does it mean? If I do a mitzvah to somebody else, he is going to do a mitzvah to the third person, and to the fourth person, and society is going to be a better place, and also vice versa. Avera goreret avera, if I do bad to someone, he's going to do bad also to me and also to somebody else. He's not going to be a happy camper. He's not going to be a nice person. And that is the vicious cycle of being vicious. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera. What is the greatest reward for a mitzvah? The mitzvah itself. Because society and we become better people. This, we'll finish off with one last example, a beautiful example, in Sefer Breishit, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, a very innocent pasuk, where Yaakov Avinu, as he's coming back from Lavan, it says, V'Yaakov Nasa Sukkota, Yaakov came to a place called Sukkot, V'Yivin Lo Bayit, and he built a house for himself, U'Limikneu Asa Sukkot, and he built a shed, a barn, for his animals. Al ken kara shem ha-makom Sukkot. And that's why the place was called Sukkot. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Source 11, points out, it wasn't called Sukkot originally. Even though it says that Yaakov went, traveled to Sukkot, Perush v'tam kriyat shem Sukkot b'shvil shel mikneu asa Sukkot. Now, what's the big deal that Yaakov Avinu made a barn for his cattle? That it's so historic, he called the place Sukkot. Explains the Or HaChaim, ולא אמר לו סוכות, שאז תבין שקודם בא יעקב הייתה נקראת סוכות ולא חנו. The place was not originally called סוכות. ואם תאמר וכי בשביל שעשה שם יעקב סוכה יקרא למקום כן, forever that place is going to be called סוכות, because יעקב made a סוכה for his animals, אולי כי עשה דבר חדש. יעקב did a new invention, a new concept, בחמלתו על המקנה. יעקב started treating animals with pity. And he built for them a sukkah. And the Zohar in Source 12 says something very beautiful. Bishat ne'ila da'it parish. At ne'ila Yom Kippur, when Esav, the Sitra Achra, the evil side, leaves us, Mi'ama Kedisha leaves the holy nation, we're ready for Sukkot. What happens on Sukkot? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to be with my children in the sukkah. Why? Maktiv, v'Yaakov nasa sukkota, v'yiven lo bayit l'miknehu. Catch what's happening. Yaakov Avinu had pity on his flock, so they, by making this sukkah, this barn. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the desert, had pity on Yaakov's grandchildren, and protected us with Sukkot or with a protective cloud. And then, in memory of that, we today, every year for 7 days, sit in a sukkah. In other words, Yaakov's pity on the animals brought God to have pity on us, which bring us to also sit in Sukkot as God commanded us. Getting back to the beautiful cycle of how to change the problem of sinat chinam, the answer is by avat chinam, by showing good to a person again and again and again and again, eventually he will understand how nice and pleasant it is, and he will, if he's even half a mensch, will return to you the same relationship, kemayim panim el panim, like the reflection that we get in the water. And not only that, he'll also, odds are pretty good eventually, that he and all of us will also be good to all of society as a whole. And this is a beautiful lesson regarding Rav Kook's how to get to Sinat Chinam, Avat Chinam.